Coverage Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my lovely co-host here, Mr. Trey Hill, and we are here to break down some Chicago Bulls basketball for you guys. I know it's been a while. It's been about 3 weeks, Trey, so quite a bit to talk about, but obviously we are recording after a, I wouldn't even call it a disappointing loss, but after a solid loss, a convincing loss to the Phoenix Suns. But how are you feeling about this Bulls team at this point, and you know, what are your general, you know, sentiments towards the season at this very moment?
At this very moment, I am happy with the addition of Patrick Beverley. I think he's brought a much needed effort to the team, and it's shown since he's came in. So that's been nice to see, but it's just disappointing to go from a team that, again, last season we were first all the way into January. And this year, we're hoping that we might be able to make the play-in. So yeah. As nice as it is to see Patrick Beverley kind of light a fire under this team and give it some much-needed playmaking, it's disappointing to have fallen as far as we have still.
Yeah, it's definitely been a disappointing season so far. I think, you know, several teams in the East can say that. I'm looking at the standings right now, but yeah, I'm right there with you. I think, you know, the Bulls have been a little bit more inspiring since Patrick Beverley's come over. And, you know, I think, you know, the biggest thing that for me, and we can just go ahead and leap right into it, though, is the Patrick Beverley thing. You know, I was saying for like, I feel like months that the Bulls really needed a point guard. I mean, obviously, that's kind of a no-brainer because there's Lonzo Ball. And, you know, and I'm not trying to knock on Ayo Dosunmu at all. I think Ayo is a fantastic player. But I just feel like that specific leadership skill set is something that Ayo doesn't have when it comes to organizing an NBA offense. I think, you know, you see Ayo out there trying to be the leader. I saw him out there talking to his teammates and stuff like that.
I think what you mean, it's not leadership, but it's that being able to quarterback an offense like a Chris Paul or even a Tyus Jones for the Grizzlies. He's the backup for Ja, but when you see him come in, he just literally comes in and he runs an offense like a Ricky Rubio. I think isn't that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, that is definitely part of it. I think the other part of it is, you know, holding guys accountable. I think it's hard for a rookie or a second-year player like Ayo to do that. But, you know, obviously we can talk about it here, Trey, but the interaction between him and Vooch in that last game where Vooch very clearly missed, you know, a rotation on defense and was caught watching his guy. And Pat Bev kind of went over and was like, hey, what's up, man? What's going on? And Vooch was immediately snapping off on him. But the thing is, if it was Ayo Dosunmu, I think we've seen that interaction before, and Ayo was just going to kind of go like, whatever, man, and walk away, which, you know, I can't really blame him for that. But with Pat Bev, it was like he was still in his face, right? So I kind of enjoyed that interaction. I think, you know, people are making too much out of it than what it was. I think at the end of the day, they both just kind of forgot about it and moved on with their lives, as most, you know, NBA players do. But how did you feel about the interaction?
I mean, Vooch is a hothead. Pat Bev is a hothead. Ayo and Vooch, when we see their interactions, Ayo is much more of a little brother type with Vooch. He will correct him. You know, he will say stuff to him, but it's not in an aggressive manner. Whereas Patrick Beverley, I think he's aggressive to the old lady crossing the street. He's just that's just his mentality all of the time. And Vooch seems to be pretty well the same way, whether it's complaining about calls and giving refs the middle finger as he's running down the court, or, you know, yelling at teammates. So I didn't think anything of it as two fiery teammates having a conversation. Like, I don't think either one of them held a grudge afterwards.
It's kind of weird because when you think about Vooch just in general, at least before he came to the Bulls, for sure, you know, I thought of him as more of like an even keel type guy. But maybe it's more because of the pressure that's on him here in Chicago, and there wasn't really that pressure in Orlando. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But yeah, we do see at times that Vooch does kind of lose his cool a little bit. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that, you know, Patrick Beverley's out there holding people accountable. I think it's something that's been, you know, definitely missing on the defensive side of the basketball. And like you said, in the offense, you know, I think that is definitely part of it also, is that, you know, he's orchestrating and telling people, you know, when they need to go, when they need to cut through, when they need to make space, you know, telling people to go screen for somebody else. You know, that's definitely some kind of leadership skill as well. I think it's a veteran player out there, so I think it's made a difference for this Bulls team. And we've seen some positive results, and I think that's a big thing that's been missing in our offense so far. But, you know, I don't think he's the saving grace for the Bulls, right? He's not. I mean, what do you think, Trey? Is he going to carry us into a, you know, playoff series and make it a competitive first-round playoff series?
He's no Lonzo Ball.
No.
But he has shown that what this Bulls offense, I think, has lacked is that playmaking, because he came in and said Zach's going to shoot the ball. Well, we all know that that's what we want Zach to do. It's the same thing we wanted Coby White to do until we wanted Coby White to try and be point guard. And then I know Io was the point guard, but for all intents and purposes, Zach was the point guard. He was the guy that was expected to initiate the offense because DeMar is just the ISO king. So much like Coby White, Zach tried to do the point guard thing and it didn't really work. So Patrick Beverley being able to come in, I think that just kind of slots Zach back into his natural role as a, I can look to score rather than thinking I need to get people and other people involved. So that's been nice. And it's just, Caruso didn't start tonight, but he had started the other games. He was the only player that was a positive. Just the playmaking in general. It's nice to see the ball movement. It's nice to see a couple guys that can make quick decisions. You hear a lot of people talk about that. It's like a half second. You want to hold the ball for a half a second and make a decision. And our two stars aren't that way. But when you have other guys on the court that are, it can make things flow. And it's been nice to see. And up until tonight, the defense, well, I guess even tonight, the defense wasn't terrible up until the end. But it's been nice to see that defensive fire kind of intensity kind of come out too.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, the Bulls have lapses. I think, you know, I was watching, again, I feel like I bring this guy up every single podcast, but Marque, I do follow his tweets. You know, I would say about half the time I agree with them. But one that I did agree with that I really enjoyed was when he was talking about, well, the Bulls, you know, let's not bury the lead here. The Bulls have been one of the best defenses in the NBA, I think top five defense since January. And I think a big part of that, you know, in reading his tweet, this is what he said, was that, you know, it's not necessarily that the Bulls don't have mental lapses and bad defense at times. They absolutely break down at times and look absolutely terrible in singular possessions. But when you take it as a whole, it hasn't really been that bad. And on top of that, the Bulls have been one of the best rebounding teams in the league. I know I'm saying that on the heels of a game where we got vastly out-rebounded on the offensive boards. But still, again, grain of salt, you know, take the whole thing in consideration, not just one or two games, the whole entirety of January, February, March games. And, you know, the Bulls have been a good rebounding team and a really good defensive team. So, you know, what do you attribute that to? I mean, is it effort level? Is it just you know, variance? It has always been with us?
I mean, Vooch, he's always been an excellent rebounder for his position. He's always been a guy that gets a majority of the rebounds. And I think the defensive intensity is just kind of amped up, especially since Patrick Beverley came in. But Caruso's been playing more, I feel like. Coby White's been playing more, and he's very active. And I feel like this Bulls team, the defense is at its best when it's active and when they're moving, when they're getting in passing lanes, when they're making the offense have to do two extra things. And Vooch does a – I know Vooch catches a lot of crap because when you have those breakdowns that you mentioned, he's the one who looks bad.
Yeah,
but
typically.
When he doesn't look bad, he's in the right spots. He's able to get position, and he's so big that he's able to go up and get those rebounds, where a lot of guys, you know, that he goes up and he gets it. A lot of guys, they get him knocked away. Like we saw Drummond tonight. I think it was Torrey Craig knocked a rebound away when the Bulls were really close. They were almost able to cut into the lead late in the third. And Drummond had this offensive rebound, and the guy just came and stole it from him. And I wanted to just reach through my TV and choke Andre Drummond because he is so big. And there's no reason for him to not get this rebound. But I think it's just a combination of effort and things coming. Like, this is a team that does have what was the word they said at the beginning of the season?
Continuity?
Yes, that's it. I wanted to say consistency, and I knew that wasn't it. Continuity, and that's showing on the defensive end, I think. We're really seeing that play out, and that's just been a delight to see, especially with Caruso. I think me and other people, I've seen places say he should be in consideration for Defensive Player of the Year because he just does so much for this defense. And we watched him tonight shut down Kevin Durant on a couple possessions.
Yeah, and you know, one of the good things also with Patrick Beverley coming into the fray is that it shifts people more into roles that are appropriate for them, I think. You know, you've got Ayodele Sumu, instead of playing 30, 32 minutes, you know, a night, he's playing more like in, you know, the 22 to 25, 26 minute range. And I think that's perfect for him because I think he can expend more energy in those minutes. And that is where he really excels, you know, getting up and down the floor, getting fast break points, causing turnovers. I think that is something, you know, that he excels with. Hitting threes, I mean, he's been shooting pretty well also, at least in this game he did. So I think that's something that's been beneficial. You've also got Patrick Williams, obviously, with whenever Caruso does start. Patrick Williams started tonight to guard Kevin Durant, which makes sense. But whenever Caruso does start, you have Patrick Williams playing more of an offensive role off the bench, which is, you know, something I got to give my brother Brandon credit for. He is, it is something that he mentioned that he'd like to see is Patrick Williams coming off the bench and leading the offense there. I don't think I think I still maintain my point here that Patrick Williams is not an alpha, not an A, you know, option on the offensive end. But I have liked the aggression that I've seen out of you know, Patrick Williams recently on the offensive end, Trey. So I'd like to ask you about that. You know, I think we saw a few possessions tonight also where, you know, he's not afraid to take the shot. Let's say that first of all. 3-point shot, he's not afraid to take one. But the one possession that did really sticks out in my mind is where he did kind of like a reverse pivot into somebody's body and drew a foul. And, you know, the shot didn't went up and it wasn't even necessarily a great shot, but he went to the line. So that's the kind of stuff that we weren't seeing before.
Yeah, I think he's just getting more comfortable on the offensive end. And part of that I really credit to Patrick Beverley, because this entire season, I don't think he's been hesitant on the offensive end. He's had a very quick trigger when he's open on the 3-point line. If they close out tight on him, he's driven the ball. He hasn't been hesitant on the offensive end, but he hasn't tried to, you know, get in his bag, so to speak. But I think a lot of that leads to DeRozan and Zach. They're just, you know, they're ISO heavy guys. And while they did try to playmake, they did their best to get the other guys involved. But when you have a real playmaker who can just naturally get guys in positions in the flow of the offense, where it's just Patrick Beverley can get Patrick Williams the ball with, you know, on his right hand. So he knows, oh, I've got my momentum going that way, so I can go ahead and spin. I can go ahead and pivot that sort of direction. I don't think that's what happened on this one. I think the one you're referencing, if I remember it correctly, was just Patrick Williams recognizing he had that position and he just took the space. And right. I think that's something he does exceptionally well, is he owns his space and he uses that strength. But I hate to keep crediting Patrick Beverley for these things, but I really think a lot of it just leads back to that.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a huge void for this team. I did say that. Go back and listen to the tapes. I got it on tape. It's there. It was a huge void for this team in that just kind of floor general spot. And so I'm glad to see Patrick Beverley stepping into that. Obviously, a Chicago kid, so makes me a little bit happy. Don't have high hopes for this
you
team,
wanted the but, Dragon to come through, but unfortunately, yeah, that didn't
I did want
work
Dragic.
Out.
Yeah, I did want Dragic to be. He started the year really well, but you know, we've released him now, and I think it was definitely.
I think we released him so he could go to a contender, is what it seems like to me.
Yeah, and I think that's due to him, but I think it's also due. I mean, he's just not the guy we need. He just wasn't doing
right. But I think early in the year, we were hoping that he would fill that role, and it never happened.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about this game that just ended here. Obviously, the Bulls took on the Suns. Pretty competitive game, Trey. I mean, you know, Bulls had cut it to about 7 points, to exactly 7 points, with, you said, 5:40 left, I think, before we jumped on here. So a little less than 6 minutes left. And, you know, they ended that first half with a real big run. We're up 4 at the halftime. Not a good third quarter. Couldn't really recover from that. But I mean, I'm happy with the effort. Let's just start with that. And you know, what are your general thoughts here on this game with the Suns?
Happy with the effort. You mentioned it got cut down to 7. I was really disappointed. The Bulls had 3 straight offensive possessions that were just absolute wastes, and let the Suns run away with this one. But up until that point, I thought Chicago was really competitive. They stayed in the game, and they showed why we thought this team could be a pseudo contender if everything went right with Lonzo Ball. They they were able to contend with a team that I think is definitely going to be a title contender out West with Kevin Durant added to this mix. And we saw what Devin Booker did tonight. Like, we all want to talk about Kevin Durant, and he's definitely the best player on the Suns. But Devin Booker, again tonight, he had 24 shots, 35 points.
Yeah.
Just 6 of 10 from 3. Anything he wanted, he got. And
they've got two of them now. That's great. They got Durant and Booker. And, like, there's when they get in their bag and they do that move and they get to their spot, there's just nothing you can do.
I will say earlier you mentioned that the Bulls have been great at rebounding, but tonight they got killed on the offensive boards. The Bulls actually had 9 offensive boards and the Suns had 13. So, I mean, they did have more, but it wasn't a disaster like we thought. But 41 to 34, it was a rough rebounding night for the Bulls. Yeah. And what really killed us was the threes.
Yeah.
We shot 30%. They shot 42%. They also shot more than twice as many. We shot 23 threes. They shot 47.
Yeah, just to kind of reemphasize that, just for the listeners out there, 20 for 47, almost 50 threes the Suns took and hit almost half of them. And the Bulls took 23 threes, so 7 of 23. Only 7 made threes.
The Suns made 20 threes. The Suns made almost, or the Bulls took three more shots than the Suns made. Jesus.
Yeah. It is, and that's the math problem. You know, when you see, you know, the Bulls have a math problem and things like that. That's it right there. I think the Bulls, you know, it's always kind of I wouldn't say, I guess, confused me. I guess that's probably a good word for it, because if you look at this Bulls team, I mean, they have 3-point shooters. You have Patrick Williams. You have DeMar DeRozan. You have Nikola Vucevic, who can step out and hit a three. He's shooting nearly 40% this year, last I checked. Obviously, Patrick Beverley was not afraid to shoot a three. DeRozan, I think I mentioned DeRozan. DeRozan's not really a 3-point shooter, but he's been hitting them at a high clip since he joined the Bulls. And Zach LaVine, you know, obviously one of the elite 3-point shooters when he's on and on fire. And then coming off the bench, you got Kobe White, Caruso. I mean, you've got the personnel to shoot 35 threes in a game, and they're just not doing it. Do you think that's a byproduct of just the coaching? Is that something that the coaching staff is asking of the team, or is that just something where letting the players make that decision and the players are not taking those 3-point shots?
I think it's the lack of playmaking is a lot of it. Every time it seems like pretty much when how often do you see Patrick Williams catch the ball and be open for three and not shoot it? I don't feel like it's very often. Most of the time it's going up when he gets it. He just doesn't typically get it with the defense being bent enough that he can take advantage of it. Our offense doesn't do a lot to get other guys open, I don't feel like, other than Vooch at the top of the key or, you know, Patrick Williams, Caruso, or Io in the corner. I feel like those are the only ones. And even then, they're not gunning them like the Suns were. And I know when you have Durant, Ayton, Paul, and Booker, Okogie's going to be wide open. But he was able to get up 10 three-point shots tonight.
Yeah.
Devin Booker got up 10 three-point shots tonight. So for me, like, I look at Zach, he only got up 7. For me, he needs 10 three-point shots every night. And for me, I think you even tell Patrick Williams, hey, if you're going to play 25 minutes, I need 5 threes. I need you to get up 5 threes.
If you run back this same game, you know, in a simulation between these two teams, these two personnels, Phoenix Suns, Chicago Bulls, with these two shot profiles, the Suns are winning. You know, if you run it 10 times, they're winning 9 out of 10. If you run it 100 times, they're winning 95 out of 100. Like, it's just not a winning formula here. The Bulls really were having an uphill battle this whole time. So not surprised that they lost this game. Happy with the effort. You know, some of the little things that I did notice, again, Patrick Williams, I felt like in his minutes, he had 29 minutes tonight. He was impactful. You mentioned the defense already, Trey. I totally second that. I'm going to echo that. Defense on Durant was very good. You're never going to shut down Kevin Durant, but he did his best and did a good job. I felt like Durant was 7 of 10 from the field, wasn't really shooting the ball a whole lot, finished with 20 points, 6 assists, 9 rebounds. But I think, you know, I think part of that is that, you know, the Bulls' game plan might have been, hey, we're going to live and die and let Josh Okogie take threes and leave him open. And we're going to leave him to double guys. And hey, you know what? He went 5 of 10 from threes. You know, kudos to him.
It was to start the game. The game. That was the strategy. And then from there, it was the soft double on Durant, and he let Devin Booker cook. Really, is that, like, that's what happened. they were going to shut down Durant and Booker, and they let Okogie – they were going to let Okogie go. He went off, so they had to adjust. And they did. They made the adjustment in the game, which was a nice thing to see from the coaching staff. It kept them in the game, I felt like. And then the Suns are just – they just have that much talent. When Devin Booker can be your your secondary option, and he can do what he did tonight, that's
– yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yep. It was,
I am not upset. I am not upset at all about this loss. I thought the Bulls played a good game. I thought it was it was just losing to a team that is a legit title contender.
Yep, I agree. Not much else to say about that. One thing I do want to ask you about, Trey, is did you happen to see the play where Chris Paul punches Patrick Beverley right in the penis? Did you happen to see that on Twitter? Because I will share it with you. It is pretty bad.
I did not. You'll have
it
to.
It's pretty bad.
To me, but I don't doubt it. Chris Paul is a
terrible ball. Yeah,
he's on the court.
Yeah. And you know what? I've been on record as saying I'm a Chris Paul guy, but every time you see something like that, it's just like, man, why you don't even need to do that? Like, it's the Bulls. You're gonna win this game. Like, there's something wrong in that man's brain where he's like so competitive that he feels like he has to cheat at all points in time, but it's pretty bad.
I feel like he only does that to people that he's argued with before, and I'm sure him and Patrick Beverley have had some wars over the years.
They've had words. Yeah,
and every time he does, I just have to remind myself, Chris Paul is like 5'11". I don't even think he's a legit 6 foot. If you're going to be 5'11" and survive in the NBA, you have to be a certain kind of nasty.
Got to be a little tough as nails. I agree with that. But yeah, if you guys haven't checked it out, go to Twitter. Just search Chris Paul, Patrick Beverley or something. I'm sure you'll find it. But yeah, he kind of like it's like in the middle of the lane. He kind of like shuffles around, do a little bit of bump and grind there in the lane there. And then he just kind of like gives a hole like right hook right into the guy's crotch. It's really bad. Anyways, go check it out. That's my last little tidbit about that game. But, overall, Trey, can't be disappointed with what the Bulls have done since the All-Star break here. They are 3-2, or since they had Patrick Beverley, I should say. They are 3-2 since they had Patrick Beverley with wins over the Nets. And they've got wins over the Nets, Wizards, I had it open here just now, and the Pistons. And they have losses to the Raptors and the Suns. So that's kind of like that's what you'd expect, right? Like that makes sense, right? The Nets, Wizards, and Pistons, we should beat those teams. Raptors, I could see losing to them. It's kind of a 50-50 there. And the Suns, I mean, we're just not going to beat them most nights. So so pretty pleased, I think, since in the Patrick Beverley area. How do you feel about era?
Playing to expectations. And again, raising the floor, making sure everyone is accountable. That's what Patrick Beverley brings. And that's what I hope I hope his teammates continue to respond to him as the season goes along, especially if things take a downturn and they lose like 3-4 games in a row. I hope, Patrick Beverley and Zach don't get into it on the court. And then after the game, Zach gets asked about it and it's like, well, Pat Bev has to live with that.
I can see that happening though. That's the sad part. I think it's been a decent showing here. You know, they've been playing up to expectations. I can't say that, it's been any surprise at all, but playing up to expectations is almost a surprise at this point, 'cause we're so used to them failing us, at this point. Okay. I think I found it.
Yeah. We want them to come out and get the job done against the teams that they should get the job done against. That's all we can ask for from this team at this stage.
Yeah. I think I found it here, the thing I was looking for while I was rambling there. And shout out to Will Gottlieb of CHGO Sports, covers the Bulls for them, does a fantastic job. We've had him on the show before. Hopefully we'll get him on again at some point. But had a little table out there with, kind of the play-in tournament race in the East and where that stands. So you've got – at the beginning of the night, you had the Magic in 13th, the Pacers in 12th, the Bulls in 11th. Wizards 10th, Raptors 9th, Hawks 8th. Obviously, the Bulls lost, so that's a big bummer here. But the Bulls, 538 is giving the Bulls a 15% chance to make it into the play-in. So it's 15% chance. Wizards have a 39% chance, Raptors 40%, and Hawks 53%. Pacers are only 1%, and Magic are all but eliminated pretty much, according to 538. So does that track with you, Trey? I mean, looking at the rest of their schedule here, I mean, it's not an easy schedule. It's not hard, but it's not an easy schedule.
I mean, sure. I guess the real question is, do you want the Bulls to make the play-in? Because we haven't had this discussion. Because you know I don't. I'm a tanker.
Yeah. But they're not tanking. That's the problem. So let's look at that. Because I know you said they need to basically finish below the Pacers. And right now they're one game ahead of the Pacers. So, yeah, I mean, even if you're not tanking and you're still having
that
chance.
How many games ahead of them? What about Orlando?
Yeah, they're two games ahead of Orlando.
Right. So if you drop those two spots, your odds of keeping the pick go up drastically. Because it's top four protected. So that would be, yeah, right now we're in what, one, two, we're in seventh. So we would have 7.5 for Wimby. And then 7.8, 8.1, 8.5. But if we got all the way up to fifth, it's 10.5 across the board. We'd have a 10% chance to get Victor Wembanyama. And yeah. Then, you know, you could get Scoop, Brandon Miller, one of the Thompson twins. There's all sorts of guys you could get if you got two, three, or four. So for me, I don't think this team, even if they were to get through the play-in, which I'm not confident they would, they're going to get stomped in the first round. And this team has had that happen before. They've been to the playoffs. They don't necessarily need that first round beat down to understand what's going to happen when they get there. They've been through it.
Yeah. No, I wish they would. I wish they would take. I was actually really hoping that at one point, like just secretly, that we would get Russell Westbrook because I felt like, you know, it would be exciting to watch, but we'd also still probably lose. And so that's like the perfect recipe because it's like, you know, hey, this guy's getting triple doubles in, you know, 5-point loss, and that would be perfect for the Bulls. I'm in the same mindset, Trey. I want them to try to make the most out of their pick here. There's really not much value to be gained in making that play-in tournament as a low seed.
Honestly, what I want them to do is I want them to shoot 35 threes a game for the rest of the season. If you win enough games to make the play-in, then great. If not, which I don't think they will because it's not a style they're used to, then you can fall back. But it's a development step because this team needs to shoot more threes if they are going to be competitive. That's just the facts. It's how the numbers work in today's NBA. So make that the focus. It's not, hey, we want to develop guys by making it into the play-in and winning these games. We want to develop these guys for the long term. We want their play styles to dictate, hey, this is how we're going to play for the next 10 years because it's going to be a 3-point game for the next 10 years. I don't know if it'll stay to the extent it is, but they're not going away.
Yeah. I like that idea. I do. And I just don't think, you know, I think we're talking about what we want the Bulls to do and what do we think in our heart of hearts the Bulls are going to do. The Bulls are probably
going to
limp in.
I think they're going to go down swinging.
Yeah, they're going to limp into the 10th spot or maybe finish 11th and be disappointed, but they're going to screw themselves out of that 10% chance at Wemby. And we're all just going to be disappointed, and everyone's going to be disappointed. It's like the worst case scenario, but it's also the most likely scenario. So that's.
But as long as they keep playing like they have since Patrick Beverley came over, even if that is the case, I won't be disappointed because at least the team seems to be developing in the right direction now. I want more threes. I want more offensive sets. I want more things run off ball. I want more off ball actions. That seems to be a lot of the problem. The guys just stand around in the corner rather than – so when you have three guys on one side, have the two guys on the other side instead of just standing there, have them screen for each other, have them move around a little bit, and that creates some confusion. You see the good teams, that's what they do, and that's why they get to shoot twice as many threes as the Bulls do.
Well, theories as to why the Bulls would be, you know, going for it, even though they look terrible and probably have no chance of winning a first round series. Obviously, the most popular theory would probably be that, you know, the Reinsdorfs are saying, you know, hey, we need to get into the playoffs and get extra revenue or whatever. And I don't think that's out of the question. I think that's definitely a drive for the ownership. That's for sure. But I think the other side of this trade, and that's something that actually is useful and valuable, is seeing data points for this trio, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, and DeMar DeRozan, next to a point guard. Because let's face it, we've been a whole season basically without a point guard, starting point guard, because Lonzo Ball was down halfway through last season. So I think it's good to get data points here and see, you know, because you have to make a decision at the end of the season what to do with Vucevic, right? His contract's up. You got to figure out what to do there. Next season or next offseason, you're going to have DeMar DeRozan. His contract's up. So you know, if you want to make these big decisions, you need to have those data points to say, okay, do we need to have these guys together to be successful? Can they be successful together? So I think there's some usefulness in that. But what are your thoughts, sir?
I agree 100%. It gives us a better look into what this team could be if they were able to add a point guard somehow in a trade, or you know whatever the case may be. You know, maybe Trae Young becomes available down in Atlanta. We've seen him run out some coaches. It seems like Quinn Snyder is with the 5-year contract. This is Quinn's team. This isn't your team, Trae, kind of thing. So for me, you want to see it. And again,
Trae Young,
I'm happy. Nice. Right. But even with this squad we have now, I'm happy to see that development with the roles in the proper places. Zach is the pure scorer. DeMar is kind of the possession closer type situation. So you're right. You want to see how it develops. You want to see how they do. And Patrick Beverley is as good as it's going to get as that option. And I think he's been way more than I expected, and more than up to the task thus far.
It's been nice. Yeah, I wasn't expecting much, so it's been nice. So just kind of recap what the play-in picture kind of looks like right now for the listeners out there if you're not following along. Right now we currently have Miami Heat in 7th, Hawks in 8th, Raptors in 9th, and Wizards in 10th. The Bulls are sitting 2 games out of the play-in right now, 17 games behind first place in the East, in the 11th spot there. So it is an uphill battle here for them to make that play-in. Can they do it? I think they absolutely could. They need to start a winning streak like now, though. It's got to happen very, very soon. And I just don't see that happening unless something really clicks with this team. And I just don't see that there's a good chance of that happening. So I am not optimistic about it. If you were to give odds here about the Bulls making the play-ins, where would you put them at?
What'd they say it was, 15%?
Yeah, 530 has about 15. That's right.
I'll take that, 15%.
So it's a 15% chance at making the play-in, or a 10% chance at Wembanyama. For me, I think that's a very clear answer where I'd want to go with that. But you know, I think I put them a little higher. We're 64 games this season. They've got 18 games left. If they can go 10-8 the rest of the way, I think they make the play-in. Is that doable? I think that's absolutely doable. So I'll put it like 25%, but yeah, I'm not super optimistic about this team. But any other thoughts you wanted to cover here, Trae, or things that you noticed?
No, not particular. The Suns are a really good team. Yeah. The Bulls were competitive against a really good team. Can't take away a lot of negatives from that. So yeah. Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards, indeed. That's going to do it for us, guys. Sorry we went a few weeks without a show, but we will try to get a show to you every week or two here until the end of the season. And, maybe a few shows in the off season, maybe a few little fun shows where we kind of talk about our top moments or something like that. But anyways, until next time, guys, I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trae, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And do follow the show, guys, at EthosBulls. And wherever you can on Twitter. And yeah, give us a like and subscribe. Leave us a review. All that good stuff. But until next time, go Bulls.